this is amazing. It's been a blessed days, historical days, a convergence of, a happy convergence of events.
These men have come from Douma by horse. This man reading poetry on a loudspeaker. There are people stopping to take selfies with HTS fighters. You know, everyone's saying it's beautiful. I mean, it's quite a spectacle. It is absolutely packed here in the Maya Square.
Over a series of meetings during our visit with high-ranking officials, very well connected with Syria's President Ahmed al-Sharaa, as well as other appointees in political office in the new Syria, we seek to gauge the political outlook of the new Syria. Whereas there are clouds of suspicion and misinformation surrounding Syria's new leadership, sometimes rooted in genuine concern and otherwise peddled by self-serving propagandists, we were able to establish a human face to the new government. The new rulers are from what is apparent, not some shadowy ISIS-like cult at the bidding of Israel, as is alleged, but a group of individuals who emerged from unique circumstances, who definitely espouse an outlook of Islam and have ulama amongst their ranks.
What was quite interesting, the fact that the appreciation that we have undertaken so many hours of a journey to come to and meet them, to appreciate and share in the joy of the liberation that they now are seeing the fruits of. In addition to that, what was uppermost in their minds was asking about the spread of Islam in Africa, in our country, and what efforts are being made to spread Kalima La Ilaha Illallah in the hearts and minds of people far away from here. In addition to that, they were very much concerned about the spreading of wrong ideologies within the Muslim Ummah that have created and have led to bloodshed in this part of the world.
There are undeniable traces of the likes of ISIS in the past of Syria's new leadership, but its experiences in Idlib have seen it evolve tremendously and show greater maturity, making it disingenuous to selectively highlight elements of their past that may have long been buried.
Not only was there a split with ISIS, but then they split definitively with Al-Qaeda. And then they purged Al-Qaeda. They purged extremists from their ranks and other people too. They purged opposition to Joulani. They made outreach to religious minorities. There are Druze communities in Idlib. There are Christian communities living in Idlib. And they, you know, came to an accommodation with them. And I'm sure it's this kind of understanding, learning how to do diplomacy, learning how to do politics, learning how to build good social relationships. This is what has set them in such good stead for their behavior in Aleppo and now inshallah, in the rest of Syria.
Following its dramatic liberation of Syria, many analysts have opined that the HDS group that now form the core of Syria's transitional government have managed statecraft well, showing an acute awareness of what is required to navigate the conflicting interests in the country.
The remarkable discipline and intelligence shown, quite surprisingly, it surprised me, by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham in particular, but also Ahrar al-Sham and Jaish al-Izza and the other groups in the coalition led by HTS. When they went into Aleppo on day one, the inhabitants of Western Aleppo, not so much Eastern Aleppo, which had been in the hands of the revolution before, but Western Aleppo, where there's a lot of bourgeois people who were more aligned with the regime, and also many Christians and Armenians and other minority groups. I think a lot of them were terrified on day one. By day two, they weren't. You know, by day three, they were really quite happy and had a sense of relief. Right. And that's remarkable. And when people elsewhere in the country saw that, that's what really helped. I think that was the fundamental final ingredient that allowed all the dominoes to fall.
In conversations held in buildings of the former regime and Ba'ath Party, now under the control of the new rulership, they sought to assure us that their struggle was always for Islam and remains such. In state building and drafting of the constitution, they said, Islam remains the priority. At the same time, they emphasized the need to be aware that they were operating in circumstances far from the ideal. As such, the priorities at present were more to ensure stability, reconstruction and economic growth. The officials told us that they have to grapple with percentages of the citizenry, including Muslims, who are cut off for years from their Islamic identity and still have to have faith nurtured in them before a higher level of Islamic consciousness can be upheld. They highlighted the role of the military in regime Syria and how a no religion and no salah policy in its ranks was key to spreading irreligiousness. A priority now, according to the new rulership, is rebuilding new civil institutions with Islamic norms and connecting public servants to Islam through the establishment of new musallas and masajid, for instance.
نحن الآن بفضل الله عز وجل نضع أيدينا بأيدي بعض لنبني الشام نبني سوريا.
A common thread that emerged in discussions with various officials of the new rulership is that they were drawing guidance from the seerah to be able to direct their state-building efforts. According to the Mufti of Halab, the phase the country is going through now is a passage from instability to stability, from extreme ideologies and even Salafism to the Islamic middle way rooted in the madhahib, and from the fiqh of revolution to the fiqh of state building.
فنحن الآن في سوريا انتقلنا من مرحلة الثورة إلى مرحلة البناء.
Those we met who have direct access to Ahmed al-Shara, previously known as Abu Muhammad al-Jawlani, spoke highly of him, describing him as a man of wisdom and foresight.
وهذا ما تفعله قيادتنا والحمد لله تتهج منهج سياسي براغماتي وحكيم و عن تنطلق من مبدأ تصفير المشاكل الإقليمية والدولية.
Still, there are voices who caution that the pragmatism of present should be kept in check to ensure that the establishment of Islam in Syria that many aspired for and gave their lives does not become sacrificed at the altar of a secular state.
Is there a specific direction on where this is headed? Is it headed to be guided by Sharia, or is it headed to become more of a civil, just a regular civil state? Regular, I mean, by what we commonly know. That is, maybe partially allow some scholars to talk, but not necessarily guided by Islam. Is there any talk about which direction this is going?
I think, well, of course, there's always a lot of talk and everything. And the fighters which are around the country are Islamic fighters. But I think that maybe that's not the conversation that I think that we should be having.
I agree with that, actually.
Not dodging the question, yeah. But the conversation I think that we should be having is as follows. What are we going to call for? Mm-hmm. The days of just saying, well, let's see what the government is going to do. No, we don't want to see what the government is going to do. We want to let the government understand from right now. There's going to be some Islam up in there somewhere. It's not going to be a situation where it's like, well, is it going to be? Is it not going to be? Well, oh, okay, we gave it our best shot. No, not after 14 years of fighting. Not after over a million people have been killed. Not after half the population has been displaced. Not after all that we've seen of these different prisons. We are going nowhere without a fight. Doesn't make a difference who it is, what your name is, how many Muhammads you have in your name. It makes no difference. If there isn't going to be justice and Islam, then we will call for your removal.
Of concern for the new Syria is its dire financial situation, ongoing sanctions, and the new leadership's lack of control over Syria's oil and sovereign resources.
In addition to that, they spoke of the potential risk that they are facing of the fact that the country can probably be split into three, and that's going to create further difficulties and probably also a new revolution, a new wave of revolution could come about if the immediate challenges are not taken care of.
Concerns over the role of the Kurdish SDF, American involvement and Russian military bases abound. As witnessed recently, remnants of the previous regime, Israel and the Druze, are wont to create instability. On the 11th of March, al-Shara' signed an agreement with Mazloum Abdi, the commander of the SDF, to incorporate SDF-controlled institutions into the state, establish border crossings, and pledge to fight the remnants of the Assad regime. Still, Time will tell whether this agreement will guarantee credible change.
Of course, this is a moment which is fraught with danger. The country is in chaos. Syrians are trying to form a new government and to develop a new system and to find a way forward together. But there's a lot that could go wrong. There's a hell of a lot that could go wrong. Most of the east of the country is still under the control of the SDF, the Syrian Democratic Forces, so-called. Yeah. The dominant force in the SDF is the PKK, a Turkish, Kurdish, left Marxist, Leninist organization with a cult of personality around the leader. A lot of the SDF troops are not Kurds, they're Arabs. There are hundreds of thousands of Kurds in Iraqi Kurdistan who've run away from Syrian Kurdistan to get away from the PKK. The Syrian National Army, which is the remnants of Free Syrian Army militias, which are now under Turkish control, are very indisciplined in many cases and have been found guilty of abuses and attacking people, abusing Kurds for being Kurds, looting. They and the SDF are fighting in parts of the north and the northeast. So there's a lot that could go wrong. There's a hell of a lot that could go wrong.
Israeli Foreign Minister Gideon Saar has expressed the Zionist state's antagonism towards the new Syria and claimed that a so-called jihadist group was now ruling the country. The officials we spoke to emphasized the absolute support of the new Syria for Palestine, but suggested that due to the vast internal challenges facing Syria, they did not deem it strategic to take on Israel head-on at present.
Syria is crawling out from under the corpse of this horrific fascist regime. It's trying to dig people out of dungeons. It's trying to reconcile and trying to build from the ruins. And what we would expect, what we would hope for if we lived in a decent world, would be some solidarity, some basic human solidarity before we get down to politics. You know, well done, congratulations. We're going to help you find out what happened in Saydnaya. We're going to help you bring Bashar al-Assad to trial. We're going to help you rebuild. But no, that's not what's happening. What's happening is the so-called liberal democratic world is supplying weapons to its Israeli ally, and Israel is bombing the hell out of Syria so that it can't defend itself. Mm. And what we see throughout the Muslim world, and certainly the Arab world next to Israel, is that if the dictatorship agrees to guard Israel's security, if it agrees to police its own people to stop them attacking Israel, if it agrees to stop migrants coming to Europe, those are the priorities. If you stop migrants, if you make sure there's no resistance to Israel, then we will support you. We'll give you weapons. We'll give you money. We'll lie on your behalf. We'll pretend that you're moderate. If you don't, it's a different question. So this is normal policy. Very sadly, it's very short-sighted. It's very stupid.
In the short term, Syria too has a lot of poverty to deal with, and much aid is required to get refugees back to their homes.
Very bad economic situation. More than 90% under the poverty. Most of the people who were in camps, they stayed in camps because they are not able to build their houses again. And also the people who lived in the Damascus, Hama, Aleppo, they live in bad situation because the infrastructure bases are destroyed, no electricity, no fuels, and also the value of Syrian lira lost it.
At the same time, the call from Syria's new rulers is that a shift needs to be made swiftly from banned aid humanitarian interventions to meaningful development and investment partnerships that will allow Syria to truly prosper. In all, Syria finds itself in an exciting yet daunting space. And with all the efforts and negotiations, seeking guidance and help from Allah is going to be imperative.
An earnest appeal for dua to the Ummah, for Allah to keep them guided on the straight path, for Allah to grant them the wisdom and the foresight to be able to deal with the challenges that they face in front of them, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the way for them in order to achieve the objectives for which so much of blood has been shed and so much of difficulties have been endured of an entire population of almost 10 million to 15 million people split and in diaspora in all parts of the world as a result of the events of the last 15 years.